This is Wednesday evening Vespers for the first week of Advent, December 6th. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us. Psalm 80, verse 1 through 7. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. A hymn for today is Hark the Glad Sound, which is number 349 in the new hymnal. And I'll sing two verses here. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim, and heaven's eternal arches ring with thy beloved name. The first reading for this evening is from the third chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 8 through 30. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat it, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A response for Advent. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. A few words about these two readings from Genesis 3 and Matthew chapter 1. The first reading is fairly long, right? This story of the fall, not actually of Adam and Eve eating the fruit, but the result of their eating the fruit. And of course, the second reading is the account of Joseph's reaction when he hears that his future bride is now found to be pregnant. At first glance, you might wonder what the connection here is. Why these two readings? What do they have to do with each other? But when we look at them more closely, we see that both of these readings share two things in common. There's two themes that are found in both of these readings. The first theme that both share is the idea of shame. In the Garden of Eden, when God comes to talk to Adam and Eve, he does not see them right away. They are hiding from him. And he asks them why they are hiding, and Adam answers and says that they're hiding because they are naked and they are afraid of him, and so they want to stay away from him. What they don't say at first until he questions them is that they have a reason to be ashamed. They say they are naked, but it's not their physical nakedness that they're ashamed of, but rather the fact that they have sinned by eating the fruit that they were told not to eat. Their sinfulness is clearly visible, at least to God. And this is what they are ashamed of. This is how they think of themselves as being naked. And so in their shame, they hide. They run away from their problems, as it were. They try to hide it from God's view, although that is impossible. Now, of course, you've never lived in the Garden of Eden. You have not eaten the forbidden fruit, and yet there should be something familiar here to you in your own life. There are certain things that we have done that we are ashamed of, things that we knew we shouldn't have done, and yet we did them anyway. And like Adam and Eve, we try to hide them. We hide away from them. We don't talk to other people about them, the things that we are ashamed of. Or if we do talk about them, we make sure that the other people know that it wasn't really our fault, like Adam blaming Eve for eating the fruit, or Eve blaming the serpent. That this terrible thing I did, well, I did it because I had to, or because I was misled, or some such thing as this. This itself is also a way of hiding. The things we're ashamed of, we put away, we run away from. So too, in the second reading, there is a shameful thing going on as well. Adam is engaged to this woman named Mary, but then it's discovered that before they are married, Mary is obviously pregnant, and Joseph knows that he is certainly not the father. And so here is something shameful as well, at least in Joseph's way of thinking. His wife has cheated on him, his future wife, and this is shameful to him. Certainly it should be shameful to Mary, but for Joseph too. There is this hurt, this knowledge that, or at least he assumes that, she didn't think that he was worth waiting for. And so too, he tries to hide that shameful thing away. He resolves to divorce her quietly, meaning that he will divorce her without really telling anyone. Perhaps he can say that they were never really engaged. They were just talking. It wasn't really anything serious. She decided to go off with somebody else. That's fine, whatever it is. To divorce her quietly means to pretend as though it never happened. The shameful situation, he will hide from it as well, as Adam and Eve did, as we do. This is what human beings do, it seems to me, when we are confronted with our own shameful situation. We hide it away, or we hide ourselves from it. But what does God do? Well, this is the second theme that both of these readings share, God's reaction to this shameful event. In the first reading, God has many things to say to Adam and Eve and to the serpent about their fall into sin. Of course, we hear all these curses that Adam will only feed himself by hard work, that the ground will resist his efforts, that Eve will now be bound to Adam, even though she has her own will and wants to do other things, that she will bear children in pain, which doesn't just mean or even mostly mean physical pain, but rather the pain of having to care for someone else. And there's the curse that is laid upon the serpent, that he will go on his belly and eat dust the rest of his days. But then there's this other thing that God also tells to the serpent. He promises here a curse for the serpent, but a promise to Adam and Eve, a promise of hope. He speaks about a descendant that the woman will have, a child of Eve, who will be an enemy of the serpent, who will crush the serpent's head, even while the serpent bruises his heel. And in this curse on the serpent, again, here is hope for Adam and Eve, that someday they will have a child who will take away their shame. The thing that they have run from, that they cannot deal with on their own, their child will take it away. Their sin, their shame, their death, he will save them from that. So too, the angel of God comes to Joseph as he's contemplating this shameful situation, and he gives him a promise too. The promise being that this child is not the result of sin or of a rejection or of something that is shameful, but that this child comes from God. That this child is not something to be ashamed of, but something to give thanks for, to find hope in. And that Joseph's shame will be turned to joy by this child. Now, as it so happens, the thing that is shared in common with both of these readings is this promised child. The baby that was promised to Eve is the same baby that was given to Mary. This son who will be named Jesus, who will take away the shame of Adam and Eve, the shame of Joseph and Mary, and also your shame as well. In this Advent season, we welcome this new baby, this baby that was promised to us, who has come to give us life, even though we had death, who has come to take away sin, even though we are sinners, the baby who comes to take away our shame and to cover us with righteousness. God has promised, and he has fulfilled his promise. The baby is born. The child has come and taken away our shame. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. We continue. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The Magnificat, the Song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this time forth, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires and all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.